AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil show there. Kind enough to join us again, Sven Sundgaard is joining us, of course, weather on YouTube. We've got his own weather channel, as well as also bringmethenews.com. He's kind enough today to talk about the cool weather and a major swing the other way coming later on this month, possibly. Hey, Sven, how are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, I almost regret putting it out there because now I feel like I've overpromised and will underdeliver.
Well, let's face
it. I feel like people want hope. You know, it's so funny. Every time we get into one of these cold snaps, regardless of the winter we've had, people are like, oh my God, is this going to be like this all spring? Is this all of February? I'm like, come on, Minnesotan, don't be so depressing.
Of course it's not. We
surrendered so quickly.
It's February. This is we get this for late January, February, and then, I mean, it can get cold. I remember a few years ago we had some cool temperatures into March.
We haven't even had this a week.
Yeah.
And people are already, like, surrendering. I don't want any of these people if I'm ever in a fight.
You can't trust on them. Before we get to the weather, let's take some time here. You put out a great video on YouTube about the bill that's been getting some readings over there at the state capitol.
Oh, yeah.
About turtle harvesting. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, this is something that I saw a couple weeks ago. I think Representative Rick Hansen of South St. Paul had posted this, that this bill was coming for the legislature again. This is the third time. And I was looking at it, and I'm like, what? Minnesota has commercial turtle harvesting? Are you kidding me? Like, it's one of those things where you're like, you would have thought Minnesota, of all places, would have had this off the books decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we do kind of stick out like a sore thumb in most of the northern half of the country, literally us in Iowa. And then there's a couple of states out east, but most northern states have this ban. Of course, the South, well, you know. But I was shocked, and so I reposted it. It got a lot of traction from other people and followers of mine who had no idea either. And so this bill would ban the commercial harvest. Now, people who still want to – I know some people are commenting, well, actually, snapping turtle soup's pretty good. I've never had it. I don't think I'd ever eat it. But this does not ban personal consumption. So if somebody takes a turtle – for their, you know, turtle soup a couple times a summer, this does not ban that. It's the commercial harvest. And the reason is just simply it's not sustainable. The science is very clear on it. And so this year, what's different is the DNR is behind it, whereas they kind of stayed out of it the last couple of years. But the science has just become so overwhelming. More studies have been done. I've learned a lot about snapping turtles, which I've always thought were kind of cool because they're kind of like our own dinosaur. They've been around 90 million years. You know, they overlapped with dinosaurs. So it's pretty cool to think these are highly evolved species that know how to survive. But, you know, you can't overconsume them. An adult snapping turtle doesn't lay its first eggs until it's 17 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that. So they're very slow to reproduce. So you can't just take too many of them at once. You know, to put that into perspective, within 17 years, your average doe can have up to 900 descendants.
Wow.
So a deer harvest makes sense. We can, and we regulate it heavily anyway. But with turtles, you have to be much more careful. And so this just, there's only 21 licenses, commercial licenses. There've been a moratorium on them for, I think, I don't know how many years. I don't know the exact period of that. So they haven't given out new licenses, but the 21 remaining licenses have been taking more turtles every year because our surrounding states have banned it. So this would just ban that commercial harvest. So they're hopeful they can get it through this year, but like a lot of things, it gets stuck up in our Senate.
Yeah. I know that there are a lot of people that are looking at this now because of the exact same thing you're saying is like, really, this is going on? I know the
person. We think of ourselves as a leader in environmental issues generally.
Yeah. I know that you can't hunt turtle in May and June, I think it is. That's when they lay their eggs. But
yeah,
I
believe so.
I think it's pretty much open as long as the ice is there's no ice on in the water outside of those 2 months. How does a commercial outfit go? I mean, are they throwing nets in?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know that – so the latest year we have data, you know, they're probably still compiling last year's, 2019, they took thousands of painted turtles. You know, we think of them as being super abundant, and they are. They're not endangered or anything, but if we keep up this practice, they'll run into problems. Snapping turtles are less, but it's still hundreds of snapping turtles. So this is particularly the three turtle species that you can still commercially harvest are painted turtles, snapping turtles, and then the spiny softshell turtle. And the spiny softshell turtle are particularly vulnerable. So they set traps. And the spiny softshell turtle is attracted to these traps more so than other turtle species. And so, you know, they just want, it's just time to get rid of that altogether. And most of these turtles aren't staying here. They're being exported to other markets.
I've not seen a spiny softshell in forever. I've seen the painted turtles and the snapping turtles, but I haven't seen – I mean, I'm kind of shocked that you can have – I mean, this is exactly – this is a textbook example of how you destroy an ecosystem, because you take an animal out or you decrease it so greatly that you end up changing the environment around it. And I guarantee you there's probably some consequences if we get rid of turtles overall, and especially in certain lakes.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's – so I talked to so on my YouTube channel, as you mentioned, I did a story earlier this week that I posted. People can watch this few minutes. I interviewed Samantha Vang, Representative Samantha Vang, yep. Brooklyn Park, is the bill's author. And this is her third year putting this out there. But, you know, they have a bunch more wildlife biologists on board this time, and who've been testifying in hearings. And like I said, notably, the DNR is completely backing it this time, too. And he mentions that Chris Smith is the wildlife biologist. Turtles are super important to keeping the lakes clean. They're the scavengers of the lakes, you know. So when a fish dies, you know, things die all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Something has to eat it or consume it, otherwise the lake will get disgusting. So they're really important to the health and ecology of the lake. Plus they're super cool. I don't know anybody with little kids, or I have my nephews, they love to just point out the turtles when you're in the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just fun to spot them.
And I've seen them. I see them out on Minnehaha Creek and Nine Mile Creek. You see them out there all the time, too. So, I think it's time for this to stop this. And obviously, once again, you can go find the video there and call your local representative, especially call your local senator.
Yes,
and
your senators.
Yeah, call the state senator and get them to, you know, try to get this bill passed to the Senate, because I think this is kind of a no-brainer at this point.
It really should be a common sense bipartisan. You know, Republicans and Democrats are, you know, for sustainable, healthy environments, you know, because whether you're a hunter or not a hunter, in this state, we care about clean water, sustainable environment.
I have to ask you a weather question here and find out if my theory is correct on this. The other night, we had two nights in a row where we got basically close to a half an inch of snow that no one had forecast. I think it was Sunday night and then Monday night. We got really cold.
Well, it depends where you are. Where were you?
I'm in Hopkins. Okay. And so we got this overnight. We got this slight dusting. No one had really forecast this. Is this kind of a result of the fact that we're in a major metropolitan area and maybe that there's a humidity issue that's causing snow to come down when it gets this cold?
So you're partly onto it. Okay. This is all about microclimate. So that's why I asked where you were specifically, because I live in downtown Minneapolis. We didn't have anything.
Okay.
So this was not an organized system that just was, you know, missed by computer models. But when it gets really cold, you'll see this. Occasionally I'll post some video or pictures from parts of Siberia where it's routinely 40, 50 below. And it just gets so cold that what little moisture is in the atmosphere at that temperature is squeezed out in the form of, it's basically fog that just becomes snow right away, because people don't realize most of our fog, even if it's 15, 20 degrees, and it can actually become dangerous, is still liquid because the water droplets are super cooled. And so we call it ice fog. It can be dangerous because it condenses onto obviously frozen surfaces. If it's 15 degrees, it becomes ice right away. Well, when we get this cold, the water can't stay that far below freezing in the form of liquid, so it goes directly to snow. And so you can get a very fine snow, and yeah, that's where it happens, and particularly where you have any topography. So I used to live in the Bryn Mawr neighborhood of Minneapolis, which is Welsh for the Big Hill because it's the highest point in Minneapolis, and it literally was like being in the mountains. Anytime we had these super cold mornings, we would get snow that nobody else would get. And it's kind of fun. You can look on MnDOT traffic cameras, mm-hmm. and in fact do this, you know, the next few mornings, if you're really bored, which we all are this COVID winter, and try to pick out the spots where you'll see it's clearly snowing and then not elsewhere. So it's just a matter of microclimate. You might be at a slightly higher point or a place that's prone to more fog, or the temperature right where you were was just a couple degrees colder than everywhere else. So just, yeah, what little moisture is out there is condensed out. And at these cold temperatures, the ratio of snow to water can be 20 or 30 to 1. So it doesn't take hardly you can spit and get a half inch of snow.
you had said last weekend that there's a chance that we could end up seeing this glob of Arctic air kind of spin around, and you were saying that this could
smack us again.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we are getting this worse. I'm getting all these people down in the south, like in Texas, and they're making like, I can't believe it's going to be like 10 degrees as a low down there. It's like, well, yeah, gee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal for them.
Yeah, it is. They're terrified.
It is. You know, I have some friends who are meteorologists in Houston, and things we don't think about, you know, they don't have insulation on pipes and things. So they're telling people, you go out, cover your pipes, you know, keep water running. You got to keep your sink running overnight, you know, or it can definitely freeze. And in things that, you know, like plants, you know, we were talking about last week that the cold, a lot of our species have evolved needing this extreme cold. Well, there it's the opposite. A lot of things aren't necessarily adapted to temperatures that cold. Now, probably native plants in Texas are, because it does get cold there occasionally, but you know, we've brought in some more tropical things trying to push the limits.
Mm-hmm. And for us up here, although, you know, this is relatively normal Minnesota winter stuff. It's not something we've seen, because they're now saying, is it a chance this weekend we could get into a minus 20?
I don't think that's going to happen in the core of the metro. Now, a couple suburbs could get to 20 below. A few places, I believe, did last week. And I think Lake Elmo, the municipal airport there, you know, that's an open area, though, that is routinely colder than, you know, in the very outskirts, really, of the urban area. So those kind of places very certainly will. We're going to have a lot of 20s and 30s below. I think northern Minnesota will see some colder temperatures than last weekend, because the difference this weekend too is the winds are going to be lighter. It stayed pretty windy last weekend, so the wind chills actually probably will have bottomed out last weekend, but the actual air temperatures this weekend could be colder, because it's not going to be like, look, today the Arctic front's coming through, it's not windy. In fact, we have this light snow, which dispels another myth. A lot of people have been asking me, hey, I thought it was too cold to snow. It's never too cold to snow. It's just there's usually very little moisture. But as long as you're on the edge of an air mass, which we are right now, it's warmer, more moist to the south. That air was trying to ride up over the cold the last couple of days. That's why it hit 9 yesterday. Whoopee. And now retreating again. It's just enough to create, obviously, not a lot of snow, but this dusting to a half inch that many of us are going to see overnight tonight.
And we are going to, tonight, we're going to go below zero. And it does not look like we're going to get above zero again until Monday, right?
That's possible. You know, one of the tricky things has been the computer models have been overdoing the cold. So I know it's been cold, but you want to see something scary. The computer model projections have been much worse. Okay. The American model has routinely had us 25 to 35 below zero in the metro, which is nowhere near reality. And a lot of forecasts you saw didn't have us getting above zero today. We did one. So a lot of people would keep resetting the counter to see how many hours are we going to get below zero. So, yeah, it is possible we've slipped below zero in the last couple of hours after barely reaching one today, that we may not get above it till Monday. But I'm not completely sold. Half the models are hinting at a couple degrees above zero Saturday. So okay. We'll see. If we don't Saturday, then we are in for a streak here. But it's, you know, the Minnesota DNR, the state climatology office, put out a thing on longest streaks below zero. This is, you know, 3-4 days is nothing. I think 1912 had 7 or 8 consecutive days, every single hour below zero.
Wow. I lived in Bemidji one winter. That was brutal.
Oh, yeah, there you go, too. Yeah, those places are already 15, 20 below right now, actual temperature. So, yeah, those are places that'll be in the 30s below probably the next couple mornings.
One final thing. I will, since you kind of – you're looking at models here, it does look like there's a chance in later February.
The hope.
Yeah, there's hope. There is hope that we could get warmer in the end of February. Is that true?
Yeah, already by late next week, the consensus in the models is that we will be near or even above freezing by maybe as early as next Friday, but – almost certainly sometime next Friday, Saturday, Sunday for at least a few days. In the post I think you're alluding to, I put it out there and I did preface it by saying this is mere entertainment value 2 weeks out. Mm-hmm. But the American model had us almost 50 degrees 2 weeks from today, which is not extraordinary. Late February is when we start to see some of these warmer high temperatures. The sun is getting infinitely stronger every day. We're another touch of hope here. We're in mid-February. Things are changing so rapidly that despite what the temperature is, The sun is getting much stronger. Owls start to nest right now. They're the first birds to have their hatchlings. So spring is here already by Minnesota standards.
All right. I want everyone to go follow Sven Sundgaard on YouTube. Also, bringmethenews.com. I'll post the weather forecast after the show here. Sven, as always, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Yeah, you bet. Let's save those turtles, too.
Let's save those turtles. And I'll repost that video as well. We'll get that video up as well, too, to make sure you can find out more information and contact your Minnesota State Senator about endorsing that bill from Samantha Vang. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.